horizons. It's up to you and me to shine a guiding light and lead the way. United by our cause, we have the power to pursue what we believe. We'll achieve the realization of our dreams.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of New Horizons. I'm Vaughan Bennison. Thanks for your company. This is the Christmas Day episode of New Horizons, and, well, I hope you enjoyed what you got for Christmas this year. We're going to hear today from Jonathan Mosen. Jonathan is no stranger to many of us. He's been involved in broadcasting, in politics, and moreover, the blindness sector in New Zealand and overseas for quite a long time now. We were lucky to have Jonathan speak at the Blind Citizens Australia Convention, which was held in October in Melbourne. Here's an edited version of Jonathan's talk. The theme is making the best use of emerging technologies. Now, I would urge you to remember that this was recorded in October, and many things that Jonathan talks about have been updated since then, and you should expect to see different results from what Jonathan's talking about here.
The good thing about technology is that even if it makes your hair go grey, the thing is, if you do exactly the same thing in exactly the same order with exactly the same conditions, it does actually respond exactly the same way, even if it's not the way that you want it to. Children, not so much. Now, my youngest is actually 14 now, and my oldest is about to get married, and so I'm over the days of children saying embarrassing, inappropriate things. Mostly. And the other day, actually, I gave my 17-year-old son, who's really into his fitness and things, I gave him an Apple Watch because I got the new Series 3, so he got the old Apple Watch. And he kept asking me these questions, Dad, how do I do such and such on the Apple Watch? And I said to him after a while, David, why don't you read the manual from the Apple Store? You can go and download it and read the book, and it's got lots of pretty pictures, and you'll enjoy that. Now, as you will know, if you're involved in technology, if you've been on technology email lists or that sort of thing, you will know that there's an acronym for this. The acronym is RTFM, which, of course, as we all know, stands for Read the Flaming Manual. I was very good, and I didn't use that acronym because I knew that David would ask me what it stood for, and But his reply to my suggestion was, Dad, why on earth should I read manuals when I have you for a dad? And it's great, you know, we've come a long way. I'm not terribly mechanically inclined, and what I know about gardening could fit in a tweet, and that's 140 characters long. But it's great to be the person when you go home at Christmas time who fixes everybody's technology problems. And it's great that as blind people we can do that. So we have come a long way. The disability movement has really been founded on a mantra, and it's used so often that it's become a bit of a cliche. Nothing about us without us. And if you want to know how important that mantra, that slogan, is to our future, then you only need look at how well it has worked in our past. We can go all the way back in a technological context to Louis Braille. Louis Braille invented a system of raised dots for the blind, and without it, I wouldn't have been able to do many of the jobs that I have done in my life. Nearly 200 years later, it's still relevant, it's still critical. What was the response? Sighted people didn't approve. Sighted people wanted to ban it. Some sighted people even literally burned it. It was blind people who invented and championed Braille. A little bit later, quite a little bit later, a blind man had a car accident, and he decided that it was going to be the beginning of a new journey, not the end of his life story. He educated himself in computers, and he started a company, and that company was called Hinterjoyce. And a little bit later, another blind guy, Glenn Gordon, came along and really cracked access to Windows at a time when many of us were starting to despair about whether we were going to lose everything that we had gained in the DOS environment. We as blind people solved that problem. And that's not to say that partnerships aren't important because partnerships have borne fruit too. It was a chance meeting on a plane between a blind man and a brilliant mind named Ray Kurzweil that caused the first reading machine to be invented. It was partnerships between people like Dean Blasey of Blasey Engineering and Russell Smith of the company we now call Humanware that meant that we as blind people were using note takers long before sighted people had portable devices. We made that happen in partnership and cooperation, but we partnered with people who listened to us. They didn't assume what we needed. They asked us, "What do you need?" We told them, and they turned their genius to the problem. In parallel with this, there has been a discussion going on in the consumer movement around the world, and that essentially said that technology should be accessible out of the box. You shouldn't have to retrofit it. Universal accessibility should be something that is just accepted. And so it was, particularly in the United States, where often, at least in earlier times, we used to follow their example. The Americans with Disabilities Act was formed, was passed ultimately, and of course Section 508 of the Rehabilitation Act. And what that said was that if you are a technology manufacturer, you have a very good chance of having your technology bought by government and used widely if you make it accessible. Or by contrast, if you don't, if you choose to ignore the access needs of people with disabilities, you have a good chance of losing some significant government money. Now, it was that climate that we as a consumer movement talked about, agreed upon, and voted upon. It was that climate that led probably the most successful company in embracing universal design, Apple, to come to the table, because Apple had nowhere else to go. The last company to make a third-party screen reader for Apple had pulled out, and that's why Apple had to come in and do it themselves, originally on the Mac, and there's no doubt now that accessibility is in their very corporate DNA. And that's a wonderful thing. When a company goes into a new geographical market, they do a lot of research. So if they're going into a market like China or India, they will find out what is culturally appropriate. They will work closely with people with knowledge of that culture, and so it should be. In the blind community, I submit that we have a little bit of a problem. It is important to wake up in the morning and be thankful for how far we've come, and be grateful for the fact that as of 2009, VoiceOver, for example, is built into every iPhone. Now, the term game changer is used a lot, but that really was a game changer, to have such a powerful screen reader in every product. But let me paint a picture for you. A new version of Apple's operating system is released, and people suddenly find that one of the most fundamental, one of the core functions of that device no longer works, namely that you can't answer calls anymore. The whole world comes to a screeching halt, and it's headline news. The newscaster is breathless as he headlines the bulletin and says, well, it's a she because it's Ness Campanella, right? So it's a she. And the newscaster says, e-commerce ground to a halt today, as people couldn't communicate with one another because Apple released a software update and you can't answer your calls anymore. And there are live interviews with tradespeople and salespeople and people from all walks of life who've had their livelihoods disrupted. Tim Cook gives an emergency press conference and he apologizes and he says it's not good enough. And he says the technicians will work through the night and get a fix out tomorrow. Now, that exact thing happened in iOS 9. But the only difference is it just affected blind people. Lots of people got their iPhones updated to iOS 9 and they couldn't answer calls anymore. How many journalists were interested? None. Did Tim Cook have to make an apology? No, he did not. No journalist even brought it to his attention. The fix, well, it did come, but it was very late in coming and it caused a lot of loss of revenue for many people. And if you think that I'm just raking up ancient history, ask any Braille user about what's going on in iOS 11. What is going on in iOS 11 with Braille is not acceptable. And I think we need to ask the very important question, if a bug would not be deemed acceptable for a sighted person to put up with, why is it acceptable that we should put up with it? As equal citizens in any country, we are equally protected by consumer guarantee legislation. So the legislation doesn't say a product must remain fit for purpose unless you happen to be blind. Every assistive technology company should be held to the same standards. And when a manufacturer develops a screen reader, be it Google or Apple or Microsoft or Amazon, they have chosen to become an assistive technology company. I've worked as a product manager in two of the biggest assistive technology companies in the world in the blindness space, and I know that this technology has an enormous power for good when it works, and it can be incredibly disruptive when it doesn't. And so understandably, blind people have held assistive technology companies to account. They expect technology to work. They know that it can never be bug-free. But they do expect that if some showstoppers slip through, that they will be dealt with in a timely manner. We have had repeated examples, not just with Apple, but with a number of other manufacturers too, where serious bugs have been reported in the design stage, in the beta testing stage. Apple now allows people to public beta test their software, which means that if you want, you can put the version of the next big thing on your device and test it and report back to Apple. Apple got a lot of feedback about the no answering call problem before iOS 9. They got a tremendous amount of feedback about the Braille problems that persist in iOS 11. So what is the answer? Well, the answer is that in all of these assistive technology cases, whether it be the dedicated assistive technology companies or the big entities, the big corporates who do a lot of other things besides assistive technology, we must be partners. Just as when they go into a new geographical market and they look at the culture of the market they're going into, our culture needs to be considered. And what is that culture? Our culture is nothing about us without us. Our culture is that we expect that when these products are manufactured, we will have a say, and that representatives of companies will get around the table with us at a meaningful stage and not just pay lip service, but listen to and implement our ideas. Because what history has taught us is that we make real progress when we are the people with whom things are done, not the people for whom things are done. I have recently been talking to people who have purchased multi-$1,000 note takers, and the only reason why they still feel that they need to do that is because they're concerned about what happens every time they upgrade their mainstream device. We won't have achieved the equality that we seek until we send this simple message. We are worthy. We are worthy of a product just as capable, just as consistent, just as bug-free, that allows us to communicate with our family, our friends, our business associates with ease as sighted people. And until we get there, we won't be able to make the most of emerging technologies.
And that was Jonathan Mosen speaking at the Blind Citizens Australia Convention in October this year. I hope you're enjoying your Christmas holiday. Don't forget that Blind Citizens Australia relies on donations from the community. The office is closed down just at the moment. However, they will be back up and running in early January. So if you give them a call on 1-800-033-660, 1-800-033-660, you can leave a message and someone will get back to you when the office opens again. Alternatively, you can email bca@bca.org.au. And I hope you continue to have a good and accessible Christmas holiday break. We'll achieve the realization.